once again in a series that we've entitled Born Again, and we trust to remain tuned for the next quarter hour as we deal with another outstanding topic from God's divine word. In the past few broadcasts, if you've been listening to the station, you're aware of the fact that we've gone into the accounts of conversion as are recorded by the writer Luke in the book of Acts. I trust as we look today at the 10th chapter of Acts that you'll realize that we have the accounting here of the first recorded account of conversion of a Gentile and his family. This took place in the city of Caesarea, which was a capital of the Roman government in the land of Palestine, as it was called. And as we look into the Word of God, we find that Cornelius is a very outstanding character to begin with. From the 10th chapter of Acts, I'd like to open the broadcast by reading the following in your hearing. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. And then in verse 2 of this momentous chapter, we have the following reading. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Some time ago I was talking to a man about the story of Cornelius, and he said, why would such a good man who believed in God, who prayed to God, and who gave alms to the people, would be called upon to do anything for the salvation of his soul? And yet we're aware of the fact, as Luke records it here in the 10th chapter of Acts, that this man had a vision, and he was told to send men to Joppa to secure Simon Peter, who would come and tell he and his household what they ought to do, or as one rendering gives it, what they must do. So the question that came to the mind of the man is a question that may be on your mind on the broadcast today. Why would such a character who was devout, who feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always, what would there be for this man to do that he might be saved? In the first place, Cornelius is like any of the rest of us in the fact that he certainly did commit sin in his life. No individual can live upon this earth without committing sin. And I think as Paul made the statement in Romans 3:23, we're aware of the fact that it's true in our life. Remember the apostle announced there that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It might be interesting to note that if you check the background on Romans 3:23, that you'll find that the apostle Paul has been directing his remarks in that epistle to both the Jew and the Gentile. So there's no doubt in my mind as I talk to you today but what Cornelius had been guilty of sin. But someone would say, certainly one who had this faith in God and who had rendered from his lofty position so many wonderful things to the people who were about him, that truly this man would be accepted of God. I'm led to believe that there's one thing missing from the life of this man as we read that second verse. There is nothing mentioned here about Jesus the Christ. And it's important in these present days to realize that it's not enough to recognize that there is a God. But before we can actually enter into a fellowship with Christ Jesus, we must do even as the man in the chariot did that we talked about a few weeks ago, as recorded in the 8th chapter of Acts. Remember, after this man had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and he finally said as they went along the way, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That the preacher Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm led to believe that there was something there that kept this man from being baptized into Christ. It was the needed confession of faith. It's much like Jesus said in Matthew 10:32 during his personal ministry, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then the same Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, once again in that momentous epistle, said in the 10th chapter of Romans in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this man, Cornelius, had, from what we are able to understand, never confessed his faith in Christ. You see, it's a little different, friends, when we get on this side of the cross than it was in the days of the law of Moses. I cannot remember reading any place in the Old Testament where any person was called upon as a child of God, called upon as an Israelite, to confess that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You say, well, of course, that wouldn't be possible because Jesus Christ did not come to this earth until we have the New Testament record recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, that's true. But there's another interesting factor, and Christ let us in on this in that wonderful commentary about his life and his departure from this life, as he announced to his apostle body in the 14th chapter of John. You know, that's the chapter that begins by telling us that our hearts should not be troubled. We believe in God, believe also in Christ. And then Jesus, in showing the true way to God, may we say on this side of the cross, is brought to our attention in the momentous passage of John 14 and 6. Here you recall that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you see, Cornelius, on this side of the cross, and that's where he lived, could truly never come into a lasting fellowship with God, with his sins forgiven, unless he came by Jesus Christ. But you see, he had never heard the story of Christ. If this man had known what to do to be saved, I am sure that he would have done it without hesitation. For as you read once again from this same 10th chapter of Acts, and I'm turning now to the 33rd verse, which to me is one of the most outstanding passages that we have any place in the New Testament relative to conversion. Listen to Cornelius relative to his new birth that truly is going to be experienced in his life. In verse 33 from the 10th chapter of Acts, when Peter comes to talk to him, then Cornelius says in the following fashion, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So you see, Cornelius was still a strong believer in God. He wanted to do those things that were commanded of God. He wanted to do the will of God. He didn't have the answer to his question, what he truly must do to be saved, or what members of his household must do to be saved, or, if I may inject this point, what they must do to be born again. Now, I don't know whether he knew anything about the terminology born again. I know there are people who have been born again who had never used the term, and yet we find they had obeyed the glorious gospel just like we understand Cornelius and his household obeyed the gospel. So really what we're talking about on the broadcast today, friends, is a good man who was made better by his obedience to the gospel. Time will not permit us on this broadcast this morning and today to bring to you the steps that were mentioned in connection with Cornelius' conversion. However, we do know that Peter began and acknowledged that truly God would accept people from all nations. God was no respecter of persons. But those who would fear God and who would work righteousness would be accepted of him. And so as Peter unfolded the marvelous story of the cross, I can picture to you with an eye of faith on a broadcast today that Cornelius was listening, wanting to hear the things that God had commanded, knowing from the vision that he had there and had sent men to Joppa, that surely when this apostle came, that he would explain to him all things that were needful and necessary. Now, you may be listening to the broadcast today, and you may be away from the Lord. It doesn't make any difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. Christ simply said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And might I assure you that this way will be made plain, regardless of what nationality you might be, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your family background, your social standing. For you know, Paul made it plain, friends, in Galatians 3:27. Well, really the 28th verse. He said in the 27th verse, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then keying in on verse 28, he said that there is no difference between bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So there is no nationality boundary. There is no sexual boundary as far as one becoming a Christian. We're led to believe that both men and women can obey from their heart the glorious truth. So picture with me on the broadcast today, Cornelius and members of his household, which included his servants, listening intently to what the Apostle Peter had to offer. Now, it is important that we mention to you on the broadcast that there were six Jewish brethren who came with the Apostle Peter. We believe as we talk to you that they were sent there to actually witness the conversion of the Gentiles, and so to show that God was definitely behind the conversion of Cornelius. And might I add that Cornelius was about to be born again, that the message of the gospel was proclaimed to him. Then we understand the Holy Spirit came down upon the members there of the household of Cornelius, and they were actually baptized. It was equivalent to what had happened to the people at Pentecost, to the apostles. This, of course, was not really to convert Cornelius. There's no record of that being done for his conversion. But it was to convince the Jewish brethren who came with the Apostle Peter that the Gentiles already truly were in a position of having a right to become Christians. Let's pick up the thread of thought here from verse 44, if you're following in your Bible, in this wonderful 10th chapter of Acts. Now, Peter's preaching the sermon, and dropping back to verse 43, he said to him, "Give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And might I say, the idea of believeth in him conveys the idea of trusting him with a firm conviction that he is the Son of God, and following that with obedience. So everything that a person does to become a Christian is under the caption of whosoever believeth in him. Verse 44 says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision," that's the Jews, including the six that had come, "and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter." Why? "Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then when this took place, Peter spoke up and said, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." You see, when you look back on the conversion of the 3,000 at Pentecost in Acts 2, you're led to believe there that Peter, who was the preacher in that same sermon that we referred to earlier, when the people were pricked in their heart and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter in Acts 2:38 told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So in the case of Cornelius, they were commanded to be baptized. I am sure they believed the teaching. They must have repented. They must have announced with their mouth in the light of other conversions that Christ was the Son of God, for they now heard of him. And then we are assured, since Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and Cornelius said, "We're here present before God to hear whatsoever things God hath commanded thee," that undoubtedly this man Cornelius and members of his household gladly received the word and were baptized. Then this question comes on our broadcast day. Were these people of the household of Cornelius, including this godly man, were they born again? I'm led to believe that when we answer this question, we too will know what we should do to be born again. Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ that you believe he is the Son of God, and follow that with baptism into Christ Jesus. We're going to leave you on the broadcast today. If you have questions, feel free to send them in. And be with us for the next broadcast as we continue on with the Born Again series.